Three tips or like advice on effective growth strategies you can give to the public out there who need help or are who in your position?
I would say maintain.
Hello and welcome to BizWiz, turning ideas into reality, the podcast where we will add a little bit of magic into your business journey, whether you're dreaming of your first startup or looking to take your business to the next level. BizWiz is here to entertain, inspire and guide you. I am your host, Axa Essen, and together we'll explore the world of businesses like never before. From actionable strategies and expert insights to stories of success and lessons learned from failure. Each episode is designed to fuel your ambition, sharpen your skills, and empower you to make your business dreams a reality. So whether you're just starting out or scaling new heights, getting ready to unlock your potential and discover the stories behind successful businesses, welcome to BizWiz and let's embark on this exciting journey together. Hello and welcome back to the BizWiz podcast. I am your host, Axa Essen. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the strategies of growing your business. Joining us today is Medica Corsa. Thank you for tuning in this podcast. Can you please tell me a bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Medica. I'm a registered nurse, qualified 2 years ago. Working as a registered nurse, I believe, obviously, even though I was full-time, the salary I got paid at the end of the month wasn't enough. So I decided to start my own business. At first, obviously, you don't know where to start. So I decided to go into clothing business where I can buy and sell different sorts of clothes and see how that works out for myself.
So, Medica, can you tell me a bit about your business then?
So, I started this business not long ago. What I do is I import and export. So I started this business not long ago. What I do is I joined a brand in a different country, a clothing brand. I've partnership with them. They'll send me samples over, which obviously I'll put out to sale. So whatever sells best in this country, I then obviously make sure that I get more. So I started this business not long ago. I partnershiped with a clothing brand in a different country. Spoke to them, I told them my idea, and because they don't have their clothes within the UK, those sort of branded clothes, I thought, okay, you know, it'd be easy for me to sell the idea to them so that they can support me in this, which they did. It took time, but they did. So now I get branded clothes from their company imported to the UK, which I then sell within the UK, and whatever sells most, I obviously import more goods.
So you said you imported your goods. So how did you get customers to buy these clothes off you?
Well, first of all, I advertised on many different platforms, including Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and even on my personal WhatsApp, just so that people can see what I'm trying to sell. Not only that, I also, what I did was I got some leaflets made, which I would go around and post in people's postbox, which I thought was going to be a good idea, so that people living locally would know this is what I'm obviously trying to sell.
So what do you consider the most critical component of a successful growth strategy is?
Personally, I don't think I've got a lot of knowledge on this, but from what I've experienced, I think you need to be able to understand and know your target audience. So, for example, with my clothing business, what sort of audience am I targeting? Am I, is it aimed at teenagers or adults only, or under the age of 10, etc. So my target audience was anyone from the age of 7 till obviously adults. Because I didn't sell anything, I didn't sell clothes or sizes under the age of 7. With me, I also targeted mainly women, because I think women are, personally, I did a lot of research and I thought women were more into fashion and obviously wanting to try new outfits and new designs and stuff like that. Also, another thing that I would say is very, very important is starting off small. We can't assume to just kind of run up the ladder as soon as you start a business. That's what most people do. I think they want to invest a lot more than what you need to at the start. And then obviously that's when businesses kind of go downhill. Whereas I started off small. I started off very, very small. And when I knew, yes, I'm getting my customers, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm selling, I know what people are looking for, these are the type of things I need to sell. These are the platforms I need to advertise my products on. I then went and grew my business a little bit more, where I only sold these products online and advertised online. I now, a couple of months later, bought a shop near where I live locally, which was obviously a lot easier for me because I can also advertise outside my shop, and I can have more stock within a shop. So starting off small is very, very important. Yeah, I think these two are the most important strategies of a successful business.
Can you share an example of a growth strategy that failed and what you learned from it?
So like I mentioned, always start off small, because in my personal experience, previously I did want to start a business before my degree. I wanted my own business. I didn't want to go into a 9-to-5 job. I didn't want to work for somebody else. I wanted my own business where I could basically have the flexibility of not having to work under a different employer. So I invested a heavy amount. So basically everything I had saved from a young age, I invested all of that into something I thought would be quite beneficial. I invested that in trading, thinking I would benefit from that and then obviously grow my business where I could maybe teach people in the future, which went down really bad. I lost all my money and I was devastated. It really put me off having my own business in the future because I thought, what's the point? At the end of it, I'm going to lose everything anyway. But no, that's not the case. With this business, I think I'm more calm. I need to remain calm. I can't invest thousands and thousands of pounds in the first place. I need to invest small so I can gain some profit, and then I can obviously, as I enhance my knowledge, I grow my business that way. So till date, I do regret losing all of that money, but I think that taught me something for my future business.
So what would you say is like the biggest challenge you faced?
Yes. So the biggest challenge I faced, which required a lot and a lot and a lot of time, was advertising. I didn't know where to start. And if I had some idea, I could advertise on different platforms, social media platforms, but that required a lot of patience. I didn't get customers all of a sudden. I had to wait months and months to obviously kind of start the first step off. So advertising was a big challenge. Although I advertise on WhatsApp, on my personal WhatsApp as well, I didn't get many customers because people either thought I was too expensive or the brand was not good enough because they've not heard of it before, or people just assumed that they'd rather, I don't know, buy it from somewhere where they've bought clothes from before. They don't want to come to a new seller. So that was one of my biggest challenges.
So how do you maintain customer trust and brand integrity while pursuing aggressive growth?
Integrity.
So how do you maintain customer trust and brand integrity?
So to start off with, goods quality is really important. If we want to maintain customers for lifetime, we need to ensure the goods that we sell are of good quality and basically excellent quality. Something that is maybe not out in the market, or maybe it is out in the market, but yours is just a little bit better. Customers tend to trust sellers who give them flexibility with their money as well. So, for example, if somebody's bought something and they don't like it, or there's a fault in it, or let's say the quality is really bad, which sometimes can happen, we can't turn around and say, well, you've paid and that's the end of that story. We do have a returns policy, so they can return and exchange. When you tell a customer you can't return an exchange, they have second thoughts and they might not buy the product. Whereas if you tell them, if you inform them that yes, you can return an exchange if there's a if the product's faulty or you change your mind, then that gives them more flexibility and they're more likely to trust you in the future as well. Customer experience is really, really important. When customers have good experiences, they'll trust you automatically. When a customer has bad experience with your company, they are very, very likely to spread word of mouth and stop other people from buying your products as well. So that's the strategies that we use to maintain customer trust. With regards to our products, we ensure that we try and sell products that are good quality, that are in fashion and that people are demanding, so that we're not bringing out something that people don't want anymore.
Okay, so to follow up that question, how do you ensure that your team is aligned and motivated to obviously achieve the growth goals?
So with my business, what we intend to do is the employees we have, we ensure they also get some sort of benefit from our business. So if they sell more products on their social media platforms, they get an incentive. So we also provide them with little bonuses after every sale. So let's say somebody sold I don't know 20 products in one day, they'll get a little bit of a higher incentive than somebody who's only sold two. Not only to obviously put somebody down, but this is to encourage them to sell more so we can have more profit, and then obviously they can have an incentive as well. Also, at the end of the year, we do give our employees like a little bonus for Christmas, because we want our employees to be happy and basically enjoy what they're doing. I know how it feels, so I don't want them to be in such a position where they kind of come into work and they don't really get anything out of it, and it's just a 9-to-5 job, which isn't. We try and make it as fun as possible and as enjoyable as possible for our employees as well as ourselves.
So what are your next plans to grow your business?
We intend to, I say we because as a team, we intend to open different branches within the UK. So we've opened one locally. We do intend to open one in different cities. Obviously starting off with the nearest city, which is Birmingham, and then hopefully expand from there. We also intend to hire more employees and then grow our business that way as well. We intend to sell different products as well. So I know we're only selling clothing products, but we might change our target audience so we can sell different products, for example baby items. A lot of people, when they're especially new first-time moms, they want to buy every possible thing for their child before the child is born. So if we have all of that in one place where we can obviously sell that, that will benefit our customers and our business. That will hopefully grow our business as well. Not only clothing, but we do intend to sell other products, for example pushchairs, baby cots, Moses basket, and for adults we do want to sell things that would benefit adults. So I know loads of women who come in to do shopping for their clothes. They'll ask for specific items. For example, do you sell shoes? Because I would rather buy my clothes from here and then buy matching shoes from here for maybe a wedding or for a party or something. And we don't sell shoes, so we have to turn them away. And if obviously that benefits our customers, we do intend to increase and grow our business and sell other items, shoes, clothes, jewellery. Women love jewellery. If I go into a shop and I'm going to buy some sort of outfit, I'd want some jewellery with that. Even if I didn't buy an outfit, I'd definitely buy some sort of jewellery and come back out of that shop with something. I wouldn't come empty-handed. Whereas with outfits, sometimes if it's not what you're looking for, you do tend to obviously go to different shops.
Oh, that's nice to hear. And what do you think, like, what's your strategies for managing and growing customer relationships during like this period?
We intend to ensure that we provide the best customer experience, best possible customer experience for our customers, and to ensure that we give them flexibility with their money. We give them a lot of variety of products, we give them choices, we treat them in a very friendly and calm manner. If we do have the odd difficult customer who isn't happy with something or one of our products or maybe our policies, we make sure we remain calm and obviously speak to them nicely, not only so that the customer comes back, but so that other customers can see our customer service. also, if we have a customer, for example, a regular customer who comes back every month or every week, or they've bought large number of items from us, we tend to give them discounts as well. If they we've made their loyalty cards, if they've got a loyalty card, they can get 10% off, not all the time, but during season times or when we've got some sales on, they can get an extra 10% on that. Just an incentive for our customers, just obviously so that we can maintain that relationship and bond between our customers. When we make a sale, we not only do we give a paper receipt, we also give electronic receipts. This way, we ask the customer for permission, if we could send them emails, or if we've got their number, send them offers on their mobile phone, so that when we've got sales, they are the first ones to know. And a lot of customers appreciate that, because we remember them when, you know, we've got a sale, we've got some discounts, or we've got some event going on, and we'll give them extra discounts, which is a good incentive for customers. And a load of customers really like that, and they come and shop for us because they feel valued.
So how do you remain positive in situations that are challenging, and obviously maybe like you don't have enough customers?
We've had many challenging situations where we've not had many customers. So especially when we first started our business, when we struggled to get customers, that was really challenging. We had to maintain a very calm environment, not assume that it will never work out, because eventually it will. It just takes time. And recently, when the season is over, so for example, when winter's over, we've got summer stock, and we're trying to get rid of the winter stock, we'll put stuff on sale. 10% off, 20% off, depending on the product, which kind of helps, because then not only are you getting rid of your old stock, but you're attracting more customers. It does happen when you, no matter what you do, you put stuff on sale, you give them discount, but customers don't tend to come into your shop, and they don't want to buy anything from you. Not because your products are not good enough or the styles are not good. It's because people are struggling financially. People are not being able to afford bills and rent and other essential needs. Because obviously clothes you can wash and wear again and again, so that's one of the last things that people think about, especially after the pandemic, where people have really struggled financially. People don't have jobs, everything's rising, people are struggling, so some people may not be able to afford what you're trying to sell. So obviously, to help them out as well, we give them some sort of discounts on our products. So for example, we might put some of our items on 40% off, because we need, not only do we need to get rid of our items, but we can attract more customers that way. So I wouldn't say it's only challenging for us, but it's also challenging for our customers as well. We need to understand their needs. What are they looking for? Are our products too expensive? Are they able to afford our items? Do they have a look and think, oh, I can get the same thing elsewhere, maybe a couple of quid cheaper? Could we have done that? Could we have not gained as much profit as we wanted, but gained little profit, but maintained our customer, a good customer service, by putting our prices down a little bit. So it's just working with the businesses around you as well. If I've got the same product as somebody else, maybe my quality is a little bit better, and the quality of the other brand is not as good. I need to understand that what will my customers go for? Will they go for the price or the quality? If somebody's already struggling to afford bills and other essential items like food for their children or for themselves, would they really go for good quality clothes? Or would they go for something that's a little cheaper? They don't mind the quality because right now they can't afford that. So with that sort of thing, what we normally tend to do is we get a variety of different qualities. We've got, I wouldn't say really poor, but the middle range quality, which isn't as good as high range quality, which is obviously a lot more expensive than the cheaper items. But it just sometimes attracts more customers. What we do is we tend to, after each sale, we do tend to give our customers an option to give us a feedback and to be able to win a £50 voucher which they can spend in store. So if they if their feedback suggests that they're worried about the quality more than the price, then we would act upon that. But some customers actually aren't really worried about the quality. They just want something that's decent looking, something they'll wear a couple of times, and then they don't mind if it's if it's basically not wearable anymore because they want to go for a different design now. So we tend to do that. We tend to get their feedback. Some customers only give you feedback because they know that they can get something out of it, so they can get £50 voucher out of it. So they'll give us a feedback, and that feedback's really helpful for our for growing our business, because then we will be able to obviously act upon that and work according to that, which again helps in challenging times, because when you've got a time where you don't have many customers coming in, then we tend to kind of understand, okay, is it because our prices are too high, or is it because our designs are not very good? We need to change our designs. We need to maybe put the prices down a bit, or do we need to maybe sell different items that are going to be beneficial?
So just to follow up with that question, how do you prepare your company for potential distributions that could impact your growth strategy?
Personally, I believe you can't really prepare and be forward with everything, because you don't know what time is going to bring. For example, if we have another lockdown, another pandemic, our stores will be closed, so we physically cannot make sales within stores where we make our most of our profit. We'll have to sell online. How would we do that? Would we have to make a website? How would we explain the quality to our customers? Because customers want to know the quality of the product before they buy. They want to know the sizes. They can't try stuff on. How do they return the items? It's all those sort of things. So you can't really always, for example, if we went down as a business because there was a pandemic and people don't want to buy clothes anymore, maybe we could sell something else alongside. Maybe we could reduce our prices a little bit, because eventually people will come back and will want to change their designs and want to wear different clothes, because we can't stop wearing clothes. And risk assessments. So anything, for example, let's say if there was a flood, or if the, God forbid, the shop caught fire, How would we risk assess that? How would we go ahead with that? And obviously, we've got insurances and everything, but if business stays shut for a while, will people not want to come back, or would we have to reopen and then ensure we've got better products this time, or different products this time, and better prices this time, because to attract more customers. So stuff like that, which we do prepare in hand beforehand, we do keep these things aside just in case things do go wrong in the future.
Well, thank you for, you know, answering my questions. And obviously, just before we end the podcast, I just wanted to ask you for your top three tips or like advice on effective growth strategies you can give to the public out there who need help or are who in your position.
I would say maintain good customer service, whether that is on social media, in person, over the phone. However, good customer service is very, very important for growing your business. Happy customer service. Customers are happy with your service. In number two, I would say starting off small. I say this to everyone, please, if you're starting a business, don't think I'm going to start off with thousands or thousands of pounds that'll all go in the drain and then you're basically left with nothing. Start off small, grow it gradually, keep patient. And lastly, I would say advertisement. Advertise as much as you can on social media platforms, on whatever platform you can find, and attract customers. When you attract more customers, provide good customer service, your business is bound to.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your incredible journey. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your incredible journey. And obviously, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning into BizWiz. We hope you found today's episode as inspiring and entertaining as we did. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on socials and stay tuned for next week. So goodbye for now.